Welcome to the Sports Resort, your home for all things sports, with your hosts G Money,
Tay,
Padre T,
and Connor. Let's get to it. Hello and welcome to another edition of the Sports Resort. This is your home for all things sports. I'm your host, Gannon Quarterly, along with my co-host here, Toby Todd. Want to welcome you guys back to another edition. We have a fun one in store for you guys today. We are going to recap what went down in week 10 of the NFL season and what to watch for in week 11 as the Thursday night football game comes up tomorrow. And then we'll give a quick rundown of Toby and I's top five power rankings, where we have, it's going to be much different from the last time we did this quite a few weeks ago. So definitely want to give you guys an updated power rankings. We'll transition over to NCAA football, see what went down in week 11 of college football and where we're at as we go into week 12. And then we will cap off the episode with a little head sneak peek at what's going on in college basketball, our predictions for the season, and things of that nature. So to get you guys kind of caught up and excited for college basketball, as we have already begun underway into that season as well. So all that and more on this edition of the Sports Resort. Before we get into that, I want everyone to hit the share button, like, and subscribe. We were trying to make this thing grow, so I would appreciate each and everybody's help. Hit that share button, post this on your social media pages. We're trying to get big. Anyone and everyone that you know that are into sports, hit that share and like and subscribe button. But enough of that, Toby. How are we feeling, man?
You know, I'm feeling fantastic. This is one of the best times of the year to be a sports fan. We've got World Cup coming up. We've got college basketball getting started. College football is nearing the end of the season. NFL full swing. This is perfect. This is a great time to be a sports fan. And I can't wait for this Thanksgiving week.
Absolutely, yeah. Thanksgiving, this is when the real college basketball game is trying to start. We see toward the end of the season for college football, so major matchups coming up. And then, of course, this is where we start to see which teams are for real and who are not within the NFL. So very, very encouraged for where we're at. But with that being said, let's get this thing started. Starting with the NFL, it has been a wild season so far. Really, outside of the Eagles, we haven't had really any one team just dominate. I feel like every team's kind of had their ups and downs in the season. But going recapping week 10, what were some of your biggest takeaways that you got after seeing this past slate of games?
I'm just going to start with the obvious takeaway right away, and that is that Justin Jefferson is – I personally want to say the best receiver in football. I know Tyreek has an argument, but that performance that he put on in Buffalo was the best receiving performance by any player this season. It's the best that I've seen in a long time. My takeaway, Justin Jefferson is as legit as it comes. He's going to be the star wide receiver in this league for many years to come. That's my main takeaway. From that game, there was a wild game. I'm not going to get into the Josh Allen turnover problems, all that. This sky is falling sort of deal that people are talking about with Buffalo and Josh Allen right now. I'm not going there because the Patriots still have to play him twice, and I'm nervous as hell for those games. So I'm not going to say anything bad on this podcast. My other takeaway, really, it comes from the Titans and Broncos game, and I'm upset. We were supposed to have our co-host Monte here. He was supposed to come on and give us something on the show today.
Yeah.
But for a team in the Titans, they were so depleted defensively. This is a team that's done it. They did it last year. They're doing it again this year. They're losing guys. They're replacing them, and they're doing the exact same thing week in, week out, making it hard on teams to move the ball, making it hard on teams to stop them from moving the ball. And this week, a receiver breakout in Tennessee, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine with over 100 yards, 2 touchdowns. This was a point of contention in our group chat this Sunday. I told Monte, how are you going to let him do this to you? Didn't the receivers have no catches last week? Great to see a receiver show up. I'm here for you as a Titans fan. And Broncos fall to 3-6. I'm so sad Monte's not here, so we can't talk about this in further detail. But what a season. One of the big games that I'm looking forward to this next week involves the 3-6 Broncos. Wow, what a game. What a final drive from Russell Wilson, by the way. Throwing balls straight up into the air, throwing the interception. It was beautiful. Thing of beauty for me as a Chiefs fan. Loved it. And those were probably the two biggest takeaways I had this weekend. Everything else kind of played out sort of the way I saw it.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree with your sentiment with Justin Jefferson. I think it's kind of a 1A, 1B situation right now between him and Tyreek Hill. In my opinion, I think those two are going to be good for quite some time. I mean, it's truly amazing to see Tyreek Hill go from Patrick Mahomes to Tua and, quite honestly, outdoing his own personal numbers that he did right here in Kansas City is pretty insane, given how much backlash, you know, Tua got coming into the season. The Dolphins themselves tried to move on from Tua on multiple occasions, and Tyreek Hill just goes right in and pretty much changes life for this team, him and Jalen Waddle. So, but Justin Jefferson's a freak, man. But I think we watched the game of the year so far. That was incredible. I still can't believe the Bills found a way to lose that game. And that, and I told you a couple weeks ago, people have been listening, I said that was my hesitancy on to put them my number one team, because the Bills do not win close games. They will blow you out. They will take advantage of your mistakes. But in a back and forth game, the Bills do not win close games more times than not. And that is my major problem with them. If you look at the three losses they've had, back and forth game, gets tight, they find a way to lose. So not good if you're a Bills fan today, going from the one seed all the way down to the, I believe, the sixth seed currently, because I believe they're even behind the Jets. So how you go from first in the whole conference to third in your own division after one loss cannot feel good. So definitely the Buffalo Bills got to kick it into gear. Josh Allen, I know, entered the week not 100% healthy. But if you're going to be out there, you got to be playing. No excuses. Especially when you had the game won, all you have to do was just hang on to a football and not fumble in your own end zone. And you win the game. So Buffalo Bills, they are in a heap of trouble if they don't correct their act really, really fast. Another thing I take away from this, the Eagles got their first loss, but I think that they will be just fine. I think that they played as, I don't want to say as bad of a game as they could have played, but just a weird game. Not too often do you see your receivers catch up two wide receiver fumbles in the same game. So especially the one to Quez Watkins, where it was a deep ball, beautiful pass from Jalen Hurts, then to get punched out. And even despite all that, when it looked like hope was lost, they pretty much stopped Washington and then just had an unfortunate rough in the passer call, which to the letter of the law was correct, but that was absurd. Like, this is football, man. These are grown men. Brandon Graham's tried to slow up, but when you're running full speed and Taylor Heinicke just decides to take a knee, like, I really don't know what you want the guys to do there. If anything, he's going to get a defensive player hurt in that scenario because he's stopping all of his momentum. So, I don't know. Like I said, to the letter of the law, it's the right call, but there really wasn't. I guess they didn't even call a rough in the past, or they called unnecessary roughness, which... Which I guess, but I wasn't too big a fan of that call if it was up to me, but whatever. The Eagles are 8-1. I think this team is still dangerous, very dangerous. And as long as they, you know, I think the balance of probabilities in the NFL or in football in general, if you lose a turnover battle, more times than not, you're going to lose the game. So I think that was a scenario where, you know, they've pretty much dominated the turnover battle every game this season. In this rare case, didn't happen for them. So, and I agree with A.J. Brown's comments. They can now stop the whole 17-0 talk. I think that does put a lot of pressure on teams. If you look at the Steelers 2 years ago, started the season off 11-0, and then they finished with 13 wins by the end of the season. The Cardinals last year started off 7-0, finished 11-6, and got knocked out in the first round of the playoffs. So, I think yes, it's fun to be the last undefeated team, but it's it has so much pressure on you. So I think them honestly getting out of the way pretty much at the halfway point will honestly be a good thing for Philly. So they may lose a couple more games. I mean, that's typically how the NFL goes. I didn't come into the season, no one would have thought they were going to go 16-1. So they may have another loss or two here, but I still fully expect them to be the number one seed and for the pretty much the NFC to go through Philadelphia. So I'm not off their, not necessarily bandwagon, but not off them as being the top contender so far in the NFC. But right behind them is Minnesota for sure, given their impressive performance. But the game's coming up, going into week 11. What are you kind of looking for, or have any games that you have your eye on, or any players or matchups?
So I alluded to it earlier. Actually, one game that I'm looking forward to, it was kind of this AFC West weekend. I know a lot of people coming into the season, they said AFC West is going to be the best division in football. Clearly has not been the case. That Broncos and Raiders game means essentially nothing for the playoffs, right? But I'm very interested to see what happens in that game, given where both teams stand. The Broncos feel like a defeated team. They're statistically actually the best defense in football, statistically the worst offense in football. And I think that weighs on a team when one unit does their job, one unit doesn't. And then you have a head coach that nobody seems to be behind. And speaking of head coaches, nobody seems to be behind the Raiders. All the news coming out today, you've got the franchise quarterback. He's crying on the podium. You know, he's showing emotion out there. They can't win a game. They can't seem to get over the hump. They're losing the first day head coaches, guys with no experience in Indianapolis, losing to teams like that. And I mean, it gets to him. And I actually appreciate Derek Carr showing emotion. I think that's something that a leader will do. But it's going to be interesting to see who follows him, who follows Russell Wilson into this week when essentially they're playing a game looking up at that Sunday night game, the Chiefs and Chargers, two teams that are just very clearly better than they are, something they didn't expect to happen at the beginning of the season. And then the other game that I'm looking at is actually this Cowboys and Vikings game, right? I was very high on the Cowboys when we did power rankings. I said I like this defense. Getting Dak back, I thought would bring a little bit more stability to the offense. Cooper Rush did his job, but it wasn't flashy. Tony Pollard came in to start. He looked great, still did on Sunday. But vintage Cowboys performance, right? Man, games in the bag, up 14. This Packers team hasn't won all year. Throw it away. I mean, that's a vintage Cowboys, man. Throw it away. And the Cowboys are going into Minnesota, who just came off this game of the year type win in Buffalo. And Dallas is the favorites. I thought that was interesting. I know Jefferson, he was limited in practice today. Obviously, if he doesn't go, the Vikings' best player can't go. That changes things a whole bunch. But this is a very, very interesting game. The Vikings keep escaping teams. They're 8-1, but they're escaping teams. And they keep winning these one-score games, You feel like they're due for a slip-up at some point. And with the Eagles losing, the NFC East now, there's a two-loss team, a three-loss team right behind them. This is a huge, huge game for the Cowboys and a huge, huge game for the Vikings if they want to hold on to any, like, chance of going getting home field throughout the playoffs. So I'm really looking forward to this Cowboys-Vikings game. Very intriguing that the Cowboys are favored in this game. But I'm very excited. I'm very excited for that one.
Yeah, I want to see – What the Cowboys are made of. Everyone knows I despise this team, but yeah, this will show, you know, what kind of team they really are, because they had that Packers game in hand. So for them to kind of blow that, being up 28-14 and losing that game in overtime, but they're about to play a for real team now. So, you know, I still think we don't know who the Packers are, and that's actually, you know, this, you know, outside of me being a Titans fan, I think this is something that, you know, we'll really know a little bit more about each team coming up on this Thursday night game. Are the Packers set to go on another run, try to make a late playoff push? Or is Tennessee gonna, you know, step up to the challenge and play? I mean, they've beaten all the bad teams on their schedule, and they pretty much lost all the decent teams on their schedule so far. I think the Packers are somewhere in between. I don't think they're as bad as the Colts or the Washington Commanders or the Raiders, but the teams of Titans have beaten. But I also don't think they're obviously the Bills, Chiefs, and even the Giants, for that matter, the three losses the Titans have. So I think the Packers are somewhere in the middle. And I don't know, given Aaron Rodgers just seems to have the Cowboys' number. So I don't know if the Packers are back, per se, or did they just kind of catch Dallas sleeping? Or are they set to go on a run? And then what is Tennessee made of? Down multiple starters, like you alluded to again. And I'll say this, man, Mike Vrabel, coach of the year times two. Like, you can call me biased. Dude, we're about to play our like 80th player already. Like, this is just ridiculous. Week in and week out, Tennessee is just grabbing dudes off the couch. Stay ready. Anyone who has NFL aspirations, just stay ready. The Titans may come calling because they're going to be on their 180th player by week 17. It's just insane how awful the strength and conditioning program is in Nashville. So that's my little rant about that. But big game coming up Thursday night. Hopefully it's a good game. We've had some poor games on Thursday night. Given Tennessee's offense, and honestly given both these teams' offenses as we've seen so far this year, it doesn't line up to be a good game, at least pretty wise on the scoreboard. But we'll see how these teams play out. So major game there. Obviously, you alluded to the Dallas and Minnesota game, and then the Chiefs and Chargers. If the Chargers are going to have playoff aspirations, they pretty much have to get this one. They fought a 5-5. Given how the Patriots and Jets are kind of ascending, all of a sudden now the Bills may be a wild card team. So that's already, you know, that's a team that's a lock that's going to end up going to the playoffs. So the Chargers really need this win. Otherwise, we really might see three AFC East teams, potentially all, honestly, almost all four of them in the playoffs. So the Chargers, I know they have to kind of beat up on each other, but the Chargers really need this win. They still have to play my Titans later on in the season, still have some other difficult games. So they need this one because they fought a 5-5. They could find themselves out of the playoffs. So that's a couple games that I'm looking for, as well as the Jets New England game, because that's going to be a major factor in who's kind of controlling the AFC East. So
yeah, AFC playoff picture is wild right now, man. Who would have thought the Bills, when we started the season, who would have thought the Bills would be here halfway through the season sitting in a wild card spot? Not to mention, very quietly, you've got the reigning AFC champions sitting there sort of working. They're also a game above 500, right in the mix with the Chargers, Patriots, Jets in that range. There's going to be some good teams left out of this AFC playoff, and you're going to have to win some games that maybe you shouldn't to make it. Huge game for the Chargers. They lose this. I'm close to sharpening in the Chiefs as the AFC West champions. I'd be really close. And the Chargers have an uphill battle to climb for the AFC. I like that look ahead. And I like the Chiefs to win that game, by the way.
I do as well. I think the Chargers are too banged up. If they were 100% healthy, we'd have a nice offensive balance, I feel like. But they're just too banged up. Keenan Allen, we haven't seen since week one. Mike Williams, he's questionable. This team just... And despite having one of the best running backs in the NFL, they act like they don't know how to run the ball sometimes. I don't understand that team. So Chargers, very disappointing season so far. But before we wrap up the NFL talk, we'll kind of give our top five power rankings. I can go first. So for me, right now, rounding out at number five, I have the San Francisco 49ers. I love what they're building. I think when they get fully healthy, they have one of the best rosters in all of football. So I think their record is not indicative of exactly how great this team is. And obviously, they're putting pieces together, haven't had McCaffrey all season. So I think once they kind of get everything together, Elijah Mitchell just came back. It seems going to be very, very dangerous. So they're at five for me. At four, I have the Miami Dolphins. 7-0 when Tua plays. and Tua starts, they're dangerous. They are very dangerous. As long as their offense continues to produce, I think their defense is getting to the quarterback when they need to. They're pretty opportunistic. So I love what I'm seeing from the Dolphins. At three, I have the Minnesota Vikings. Huge, monumental win. You know, I think that they have now, with that win in Buffalo, I think they are starting to separate themselves a little bit into that higher. I mean, they had continued to win, but were they beating, not only were they not beating the greatest of teams, they were also winning pretty ugly, but the name of the game is to win, and they continue to find ways, and that's a huge win at Buffalo. So they're three for me. At two, I have the Philadelphia Eagles. First loss of the season, 8-1. I think this is still one of the best rosters in the NFL. As long as they continue to control the clock with that run game, they're going to be hard to beat. And then number one, undisputed, is the Kansas City Chiefs right now. I mean, 7-2. Everyone was writing them off in the offseason after losing Tyreek Hill. I didn't write them off. I didn't believe in a couple of the weapons that they brought in, but Juju's been great so far. Honestly, Valdez-Scantling has stepped up in a big way, and obviously we know about 87. So the Chiefs continue to find ways to get it done no matter who they play week in and week out. They've had, you know, a brutal schedule to start the season. They got through that. Now the rest of the season, to be honest, on paper is not all that insane. So look for them to pretty much not necessarily coast, but you know, you feel very encouraged about the rest of their season moving forward. So I think that the Chiefs are primed to get that number one seed in the AFC, and it's going to go through Kansas City.
Yep, and I we have the exact same top three. Look, Chiefs won, best player, best chance to win, number one seed in the AFC. Easy enough. Eagles, again, first loss. That's an anomaly loss. You're not going to fumble three times in a game. 8-1. They're number two. And the Vikings, yeah, I mean, just keep winning. However you do it, Minnesota, just keep winning these games. You're always fun to watch on Sundays, even if it gives your fans heart attack. Mid games, yeah. You've got our friend Connor in the group chat having an aneurysm every Sunday, but very fun. Just keep, you know, for me at four, I think I'm also, I was split between two teams. And I'm at four, I'm going to go Dolphins because they beat my fifth team head-to-head. I do like the way that they're playing. Mike McDaniel's calling a great offense this year. Tua executing at a high level, two great receivers. The trade for Bradley Chubb paid off. Nick Chubb, there was the battle of the Chubbs this weekend. Cleveland held, I think, 40, 50 yards below their season average. If that holds, they're going to be very hard to beat. And then this was tough. My fifth team, I still wanted to go Buffalo. I think they're so complete. But this is the power rankings. You're 1-2 in your last 2 weeks. I'm going with the Baltimore Ravens as my number five team. I like Lamar. And I think this defense got a whole lot better with the addition of Roquan Smith. We saw him play on that Monday night game against the Saints. Obviously, they had to bye this past week. Mark Andrews needs to get healthy because they don't have much of a passing game without Mark Andrews. But when he comes back, I think that's a very complete team too. I love the addition of Roquan Smith. That defense was lacking something. We saw it in that game against Miami. We said they're lacking something. But I think they may have found it. And so I'm gonna go Ravens at five for now. Bills honorable mention just outside. But I've gotta do it right now. I know I'm not applying the same head-to-head logic there for Ravens over Bills as I did for Dolphins over Ravens. But who cares? All those games were so long ago.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest, man. Like the Eagles game, such an aberration. I mean, the Ravens dominated that game the whole time. Who gives up 28 points in a fourth quarter? Like, that's just not – I don't think that would happen again.
Yeah.
It played. Yeah. So.
I heard Brandon Marshall – now, Brandon Marshall called them the best team in football, and I will not go there. Well, not even
– No, that's just wrong.
But yeah, I will say, all the games that they've lost, they've been up double digits in those games. That's a tough team. That is a very tough team.
Virtually impossible to do. Be up maybe, every game.
Lucky, you know. But I'm going with them over the Bills right now. And I know when the Bills come back to beat the Patriots, I'll be saying, oh, they've always been the best team. They've always been the best team. But for now, this is my chance to slide the Bills down a little bit, take them down a peg.
Yeah, they need to. I think they, you know, I didn't agree with it, what some people were saying, a.k.a. Nick Wright on Fox Sports, when the Bills beat the Chiefs. At that moment in time, the Bills were the best team, at least in the AFC. But I have to now agree a little bit with what he was saying. I think that was their Super Bowl in a way. I think they were so disappointed by how the season ended last year that they started to celebrate that win a little bit too much, and they don't look like the same team that came into Kansas City. So we'll see how they move forward. But that'll do it for our NFL talk. Transitioning over to college football. Wild weekend yet again. We had Toby and I sat here and watched a lot of these games, at least some of the night ones. We saw Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan absolutely murder everyone on the top three teams in the country right now on their way to a 10-0 season. The other undefeated team, TCU, wins in a very ugly, sluggish offensive battle at Texas, but they win nonetheless 17-10. Washington upsets Oregon in insane fashion. That was an insane game. 37-34, pretty much ending Oregon's college football playoff hopes. So RIP the Pac-12 yet again, pretty much. USC is the only thing holding on at this point, because UCLA also lost. So unbelievable. LSU survived Arkansas, so LSU keeping their college football playoff hopes alive and also clinching a date with Georgia in the SEC championship game. As I mentioned, UCLA lost to Arizona in just unbelievable fashion. We saw a great SEC matchup with Alabama rallying at Ole Miss and a very good game ending that 30-24, came down to pretty much the last play of the game. And then K-State controls their own fate to get to the Big 12 championship game after winning at Baylor. So we highly likely that we see K-State and TCU in the Big 12 championship game. So local team getting a chance at a conference championship. So always fun to have that, which sets up quite an interesting week 12 going into college football this week. Anything that stood out to you from this past week or coming up for UW in college football?
Yeah, one thing that we didn't mention on the rundown that stood out to me was this is a lesson about looking ahead to an opponent, because Kentucky had no business losing at home to Vanderbilt, who hadn't won an SEC game in 3 years. Went into won the game. Kentucky, of course, this week hosts Georgia. So this is a going into week 12, I'm tying it in. This is a lesson for a team. Georgia doesn't really count. They played Georgia Tech last week. But for Ohio State and Michigan, who we know are going to play the Saturday after Thanksgiving, these are two tough teams that they play. They play Illinois and Maryland this week. Don't get caught looking ahead. Ohio State, you can get caught looking ahead. But Michigan, don't get caught looking ahead. Play well this week. You still have a week to prepare. The whole offseason for these two teams, we kind of knew was leading up to playing each other in this winner-takes-all type game next week. But it's all about handling business this week. And then I want to say there's such thing, I think, too, as a letdown. After you have a big win and you feel like you're going to coast the rest of the way, there is such thing as having a letdown. And TCU is going in to play Baylor. And what happened Saturday night was TCU goes into Texas and wins. And everybody says, okay, well, that's it. TCU is running the table. We just watched Baylor lose by 28 at home to Kansas State. And I'm thinking, not so fast. And the people who set the spreads are thinking, not so fast, TCU. It's not going to be as easy as you think to walk into Baylor, win, come out undefeated, and then cruise against Iowa State on your way to a Big 12 championship. This is going to be a really, really good game. And I think it's going to be a very, very close game. TCU has a propensity for falling behind in games, coming back in games. And this is going to be a tough team to do it against. Baylor is a little different from other Big 12 teams in that they maybe aren't as explosive offensively, but they do play very solid defense. I mean, this is going to be an interesting week for a lot of these teams. And then the last thing I want to talk about is the Pac-12, who you you pretty much said it. You pretty much said they're out. And upset it feels
– I'm calling it now. Upset alert.
Uh-oh.
UCLA.
You got UCLA over USC. Look, I...
Book it.
These two games, this is a very cool scenario that's kind of played out in the Pac-12, where these are the four best teams, and they're going to play all on the same week, USC, UCLA, and Utah, Oregon. And basically, it's going to be whoever wins these two games plays in the Pac-12 championship game. And I think that's pretty cool. We got our own little college football conference tournament thing going on here, the Pac-12. So I'm actually going to be tuned into those games. Those are the late night games. I'm off Sunday, so I'll stay up all night. Might even go back and watch the highlights right away after the game and start sending stuff in the group chat when nobody's awake to respond to me. But, yeah, very, very excited for those Pac-12 games. And then interesting just to see how leading up to big games and coming off of big games, some of those top teams in the country sort of handle things this week. Is really what week 12 is all about.
Week 10 and week 11 can be as dangerous as any in a college football season because you're so close. You pretty much at this point have an idea of who's going to be clinching to go to the conference championship games. But then, as we inevitably see, someone always messes up toward the end of the season. And then that usually is what causes chaos, because then all of a sudden you have, well, can this two-loss team somehow make it into the playoff because someone didn't take care of business? So prepare for chaos. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know where it's going to happen. I don't foresee Georgia, Ohio State, or Michigan losing. TCU, a little nervous about them. But I would not be surprised if something ridiculous happens, because it happens just about every year. So I'm prepared for it, and it's gonna get wild. Somewhere, some way, is gonna be something crazy go down.
I completely agree. Something weird is gonna happen this week, and I'm just hoping it's not with the Wolverines.
Yeah, just I'd have to come find you.
That Spencer Rattler is gonna have his one breakout game of the season in Tennessee Falls.
that would be wild.
Yeah, I'm not confident in that either. I don't know why I said that. I guess I'm just talking now. Just hopeful thinking.
Yeah. Well, speaking of wild, how about those college basketball games last night, man? We had KU and Duke going against each other, and then the first game of the night in the Championship Classic, how about Kentucky and Michigan State? Number 4 Kentucky loses to unranked Michigan State in a double overtime thriller. Both times, Kentucky has the lead going into the final seconds of the game and ends up blowing it. Michigan State, listen, they're unranked, but, I mean, they've played Gonzaga really close, really good game, and they went toe-to-toe with Kentucky. I think Kentucky should have won, but I think this Michigan State team, I'm already starting to position now. They need to be ranked. This is a team worthy of being in the top 25 currently. Tom Izzo, this seems like one of those teams where Tom Izzo is going to have to work to get them up to their full potential. I feel like they're going to go into the tournament like, I don't know, a random 4, 5, 6 seed when it's all said and done. But those are the most dangerous Michigan State teams. Whenever they are 1 or 2 seed, it seems like they always find a way to get upset. But this seems like a team that's going to be a middle of the road by the end of it, because they definitely have their flaws. But I think they can make a run. This just seems like a classic Tom Izzo team based on what I saw yesterday. So I know Toby doesn't want to hear any of that, but that's just my observation there. And then, of course, the Duke-KU game. KU started off hot, got out to a nice early lead. Duke kind of found their way back and then pretty much took control of majority of the second half. And then pretty much KU just went on an insane run to close out the game. Keep in mind, they were minus Bill Self, their head coach, in that game. So pretty impressive from them without their head coach making a comeback win as they did. What are you most excited for, I should ask, coming up with this college basketball season as we're now underway?
Yeah, one of the things I'm most excited for in this college basketball season is that there doesn't appear to be a dominant team. North Carolina, ranked number 1 nationally, they've gotten off to a bit of a slow start, and they're getting a huge boost from their run last year where they went in as I believe, were they a 9 seed? I forget if they were the 8 or 9 seed. I believe 8 when they made the run. And it was a team who struggled throughout a lot of last season, got hot late, brought back a lot of their key players, and people put them up to number one this year. But I don't think any of us are 100% sold on this North Carolina team. A lot of teams go on dream runs in March, and the pollsters absolutely ate that up. They loved it. So this year, I don't really think there's a dominant team, and that's something that's fun to look out for. I think there's going to be a lot of shifting at the top. I think there's going to be a lot of this is going to be a year where there's a lot of upsets that don't even feel like upsets. They're just going to be good teams beating other teams who we think are great, but we don't know are great. It's going to be, it just feels like one of those years, if you know what I'm saying, where there's no dominant force. We're not going to see an undefeated Gonzaga. We're not going to see powerhouse Baylor and Kansas running through people. It's just going to be a good, even keel year across basketball, down year for some conferences like the Big Ten, up year for some conferences like the Big 12. And I think it's going to be a ton of fun by the end of it. No idea how any of it shakes out. So we're not even going to try to fake it and give you these final four predictions or anything. Mm-hmm. But this is going to be a fun season, an exciting season. I'm glad for our friend Connor that Indiana's back to being acceptable. It'll make it a lot more fun when they lose in March. Our friend, hey, of course, he's going to be attending what feels like every KU game there is, celebrating their national championship, annoying the hell out of our Mizzou fans in the group. So it should be a very, very fun year for us in college basketball. That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm just going to give one hot take before we leave, and I'm going to plug my own team, our star player. This is the year of the big man. Oscar Tshiebwe, Drew Timmy getting a lot of the early headlines. Armando Bacot on that North Carolina team, on the number one team in the country right now. Watch out for Hunter Dickinson. That's my sleeper national player of the year pick. I know it's tough. He's a center. He's not going to get some of the flashy highlight plays that you see, but he's going to be a guy who puts up a lot of numbers, does a lot of great things at a great conference. And there's just my little plug. You know, I had to get one in here before we head out. We're doing our predictions later. So getting a plug in this week, Hunter Dickinson, my National Player of the Year.
Well, I'm glad somebody can, because I have nothing to say about my teams right now. Florida's already pissed me off, and Mizzou, do we really believe?
What else can you say, right?
Do we believe? They can't be worse than last year, so.
They've been fun to watch early on. They score a bunch.
They do. They can shoot way better than last year. I'll give them that.
See, trending upward. Tennis effect.
Do we believe? I don't know. But we'll see. Mizzou will have to get it figured out one way or another. But that'll do it for this episode here. Do you have any quick final thoughts as we wrap up this edition?
I have two. One very quick, prayers to the Virginia football program. That was terrible news, what happened in Virginia. Canceled the game, Coastal Carolina, and rightfully so. That's a team that's really reeling. And I love the way that the whole college football world is sort of bonded around Virginia. You see different coaches talking about it, from Clemson to Michigan and all in between. So prayers to Virginia and the families of the three young men that were tragically killed in a senseless shooting. This is going to be a huge misdirection trying to go from that to this, but just one thing in NBA, Kyrie Irving eligible to return Sunday to the Brooklyn Nets. It's the best soap opera on TV. I love seeing the Nets. I see Ben Simmons coming out with quotes about being a competitor. He just wants to see better as a competitor from a guy who sat out a whole season because he might have had a back problem. Kevin Durant wants to leave to go join James Harden, who he shipped out. Kyrie Irving's coming back. I mean, the Nets, they're in disarray. Usually it's the Lakers that we're having this type of fun with. The Lakers are just bad. So the Nets are our drama team this year. Going to be very interesting to see if Kyrie Irving does actually come back to play which I'm still like 50-50 if he's even going to come back and play for this Brooklyn Nets team. Like, what types of shenanigans go on, how this team looks, where Kevin Durant goes. I mean, the guy of Kevin Durant's stature getting moved at the trade deadline never seemed possible, and now it is. Phenomenal TV. That's the soap opera drama. That's the team you can watch with your girl, and you're like, hey, the tall guy there, he needs to get out. This is bad. It's unhealthy for him. The little guy over there with the beard, he's been causing a bunch of trouble outside of the team, and they all hate him for it. So, you know, just be very interested to see what goes on there. That's my only NBA takeaway of the week, but just going to be interesting to see when Kyrie comes back.
Well, we got Ben Simmons. He's the sensitive friend in this scenario. Gets his feelings hurt. I'm going to sit out this whole season. Someone said a mean thing to me.
Ben Simmons doesn't show up for 3 to 4 episodes.
More like 3 to 4 months. Speaking of NBA, my final thought for this week, though, is I want to start a petition. I want to start a petition that bans the Twitter account ballislife.com. Need to be banned. They put out a tweet earlier in the week that compared Kobe's behind-the-back pass to Shaquille O'Neal, one of the most iconic photos ever taken within the NBA. And they did a side-by-side with Reggie freaking Jackson passing the ball to Zubac. This is absolutely absurd. Disrespectful to Shaq and Kobe. Disrespectful to Michael Jordan and anyone who's ever dribbled a basketball. I will not stand for it. Ballislife.com needs to be disbanded, and I will DM Elon Musk if I must. They need do not ever compare Reggie Jackson and Zubac to the late great Kobe Bryant and his one-time running partner Shaquille O'Neal. I will not stand for it. I don't care how similar the pictures are. Do not ever put them side by side.
You have to admit the pass was pretty similar.
I don't care.
And it happens. I mean, same end of the old Staples Center.
Disgusting.
I mean, I could kind of see the resemblance a little bit. You know, Reggie Jackson and Kobe.
You're going down the major rabbit hole there. No. And Kobe's pass was in between two defenders to Reggie Jackson's one.
Yeah, I mean Reggie Jackson, he's got a little bit of a climb to get to Kobe level, but I'm not going to rule it out. He just has to win 5 more finals and an MVP, and
he's become a whole another player that's far better than himself.
Yeah, if Reggie Jackson can become like Luka Doncic, we might be onto something.
Oh, whatever. I still ain't hearing that. That's disrespectful. But that'll do it. We've been on here long enough. That'll do it for this week's episode. I want to thank you guys for tuning in. We always have a blast. Sorry we couldn't get one out to you guys last week. A lot of stuff going on. So wasn't able to get a show out last week, but definitely wanted to record one this week. We'll continue to try to get the other guys on here. The whole plan was to have the whole gang here, which is why we did not record on Tuesday night. But, hey, here it is. That's why Toby and I do this thing. We kill it ourselves. If the other two want to join, they're more than welcome to. But that'll do it. I want to thank you guys again. We'll try to see if we can get another one out later on this week. Preview what's coming up on the weekend. World Cup coming up. So we got some other sports to look forward to in addition to the ones we talked about. So I'm excited, like Toby said, to start the show. Great time to be a sports fan. So much going on. All the sports pretty much are going on at this current time. So that being said, you guys have a great rest of your week. And go Titans tomorrow, baby.